Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, just just want to let everyone know, before we start this episode, this is Matt Stewart from the podcast Do Go On that you're about to listen to. Sorry if this is your first interaction with the show. What a weird way to get involved, but
so
welcome.
Awkward. So awkward for
you. Oh, that's Dave. He's also from the show.
Oh,
good to see you there, Dave.
Am I not meant to talk in this bit?
No, well, yeah, I mean, you have now, so.
But if Dave talks, I want to talk.
Well, now, and that's Jess.
Okay.
Anyhow, what I want to tell the people listening is that I'm going to be in Sydney for the Sydney Comedy Festival tomorrow, if you're listening today.
today?
May the 16th is Thursday, and I'm going to be doing a show just three nights this Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Sydney Comedy Festival at the Factory Theatre. And you can get tickets via mattstewartcomedy.com/gigs. And if you use the discount code, Do Go On, you get a discount.
Whoa.
I think Saturday sold out, but there are tickets available for Thursday and Sunday. Please come along. Anyway, on with the show.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocke and I'm here, as always, with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
Well done for introducing Matt first.
Thank you.
Because he's really important. He's really counting these days.
Very important. That's three.
Out of 6 months.
Oh, no, three out of 26. 23 to go.
That was just, you were just showing off your math skills there. I would also like to point out that I nailed the intonation of Dave's intro there.
Yeah, I think you did.
Fantastic.
I've listened to it 180-something times.
85.
Six? Five.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't have to listen to every episode, of course.
I don't.
Yeah.
I don't listen to this trash.
And there's a few episodes, Dave wasn't here, where I filled in pretty well, I think.
Now, you also nailed the intonation.
Yeah.
Yes.
If I'm saying that correctly.
Yes.
No, it's actually introduction.
Yes. Thank
but
you.
Close.
Yeah, nice try. Hey, somebody explain how the show works.
Well, how the show works is there's three of us here. I don't think we're all aware of that. And we take it in turns to research a topic and then bring that research back to the others and tell them all about it. The topic could be anything. It could be Dave's water bottle there. It could be that cord in the corner. It could be Jess's nose. It could be anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm really happy for my water bottle.
This week... Well, I mean, they're just some of the things that are pulled out of my imagination, but it could really be anything.
I want my nose to finally get the attention it deserves.
Mm. But the suggestions nearly always come from listeners, and this week I'm doing a report on a topic that has been suggested by a listener. And we get on to topic with a question. This week's question is, which 20th century serial killer was dubbed the Butcher of Paris, the Demonic Ogre, and Dr. Satan, amongst other things, by the French media?
That is an incredible set of titles.
Yeah. And we haven't done a serial killer for so long.
I gave, because I'd noticed we've done a fair few entertainment type topics lately, so yeah. I gave the Patreons a few non-entertainment topics. And yeah, this one won out. It was pretty close. Another one was up there was the Stonewall Riots, which I've put up a couple of times.
Yeah.
That feels like inevitably we will do it, but it just got pipped again.
Beaten by the Parisian Ripper.
I guess that probably is. I imagine someone's called him that as well. Anyway, you've not heard of this. I hadn't heard of this guy. His name's Marcel Petiot, or it's French, probably a silent T in there, Petiot. Either of you speak French?
Oh, oui.
Yep. I'm going to say Marcel Petiot with apologies, or Petiot. And this was suggested just by one listener, Jamie Sfett.
Jamie Sfett.
Thanks, Jamie Sfett.
It's a bloody great name, Jamie Sfett.
It's a great name.
Sfett.
This is the little description that got people's attention. It has death, Nazis, French accents, and ridiculous shenanigans.
All of the things we love here at Do Go On.
They've described him as like Turkmenbashi, but a serial murderer.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's entirely right, but that's, yeah, pretty close. There's definitely, there's no salt, but.
I'm out.
Anyway, let us begin. Marcel Petiot. Do you want to I just want you to tell me yay or nay.
Yeah, I mean.
What's the spelling there?
P-E-T-I-O-T.
Petiot.
Petiot. Okay, yeah, let's.
Just call him Marcel,
Marcel Petiot. Was born on the 17th of January, 1897, in France, in a place called Auxerre, something like that, to parents Félix Petiot and Marthe Bourdon. According to Britannica, Petiot was unusually intelligent as a child, but exhibited severe behavioral problems in school and was expelled several times before completing his education.
Huh.
He was a troubled kid, showing violent and sexual tendencies from a young age. At one point, he fired his dad's gun in his classroom when he was just 11 years old. In another incident that same year, he propositioned another student for sex.
He's 11?
At 11, yeah.
I mean, we all develop at different times, sure.
That's right. I mean, I didn't fire my dad's gun until I was 17 years old.
Yeah, and that's okay. There's no shame in that. 11 seems a little young.
Fire the gun.
Yeah.
Either gun.
You've got to remember it was a different time.
It was a different time. It was the 1800s.
Yeah. I mean, they only lived at 12, so you make the most
of
that's
it. Right.
Yeah, he was a grown man. He had three jobs by that point.
A few years later, he was caught robbing a postbox and charged with theft and damaging public property. He underwent psychiatric evaluation and was found to be mentally unfit to stand trial.
They were like, why would anyone rob a postbox? There's something wrong here.
He's like punching it like, give me your money. And yeah. I was like, what are you doing?
So the charges were dropped.
Right, okay. Couldn't stand trial. Well, they deemed him not fit to.
Yep.
Right.
He served in the French army during World War One.
Okay. Why let him into the army then?
He likes firing guns.
Yeah, he had already been in trouble everywhere he'd been, but I guess they needed soldiers. So he signed up in January of 1916. The following year, he was wounded in action, and while being treated, he was busted stealing army blankets and morphine, amongst other things. So he was
building a blanket fort.
Yeah,
he was cold.
And a bit of a klepto. What do you call it? Kleptomaniac?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
You can't stop stealing, yeah.
Yeah. The army blankets, he was charged for this, but the charges were again dropped due to the results of a psychiatric evaluation.
Right, but did they send him back out to the front line anyway?
According to this website I quote a little bit today, it's called cultnation.com. but it's spelled with a V instead of a U.
Oh, yeah, cool. Like churches.
Kvolt.
The band. Not the word churches.
Oh, right.
I know how that's spelled. Okay? I know. You're both looking at me like I don't know.
She doesn't know.
I know.
I don't think she knows.
Do you want to hear it in a sentence?
Yes, please.
Churches. What a place.
Churches.
Mm-hmm.
Plural.
Comma. What a place.
What a place. Mm-hmm. Singular.
Yep.
Okay, now spell it.
Any further questions?
CHV.
Yes.
RCH.
Yes.
X.
No, you missed a V.
Ah!
Double V.
Anyway, according to Cult Nation, he was diagnosed with mental disequilibrium, neurasthenia.
Is that two separate ones?
No.
It's a second go at the same one.
Mental depression, melancholia, obsessions and phobias. It's a bit of a mixed bag of diagnoses.
Did they have any idea what they were doing back then?
I'm not sure, yes. I guess it's the early 1900s. They must have had some idea. Yeah,
there's not a lot of terms in there that are thrown around all that much now.
This saw him being sent to a psychiatric ward for treatment before being returned to the front in 1918.
Jesus. I wonder what kind of treatment they would have done as well.
Oh, wow. They were that desperate that they were just like, get back out there. You'll probably die anyway, just let's be honest.
If somebody hands you a gun, just make sure you aim it at the enemy, would you?
Shoot the right way.
That's so irresponsible.
He did not take that advice.
For everyone. I was going to be like jump to his defense, and then I remembered it was a long time ago, and I know he's a serial killer, so I probably won't defend him too much.
Mm, I reckon the source of his killing is the fact that they took him away from his blanket fort.
Yeah. Man, how good are blanket forts?
Love that stuff. A few pillows in there. Oh, hello.
We bought a new doona recently, so like a bigger one. So now we have spare doonas. And now I've just had the idea that I have the resources for a blanket fort.
Oh.
Do you want to come over?
Yeah. You got a couple of chairs. You'll build a little bit of structure.
Oh,
little emergency exit so you can escape if unwanted people come
fart,
over.
If someone farts.
If Matt farts.
I don't fart.
Do you not?
No.
You should get that checked.
You don't fart outside of a blanket fort.
Gentlemen never fart. What was your advice there, Bob?
Hmm?
You said always make sure the gun's pointing at the enemy.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't do that because when he was sent back to the front line, he literally shot himself in the foot.
Literally.
Literally, because it's also a phrase, you can shoot yourself in the foot. But he literally did
it. He literally did it. Like, literally? Did he, like, literally do
it? He literally did it.
Oh, my God, literally.
And despite the continuing issues, they still didn't send him home.
Fucking hell.
He was given a few weeks of leave to recover and then transferred to a different regiment to continue fighting in the war.
No.
I guess it was their idea that was, like, you know, it's not. He's having trouble.
Yeah.
It's probably just the people he's around.
Yeah.
Send him to a different part of the front.
He might just click with some other people a bit better.
Yeah.
Feel more at home a couple of miles that way.
Yeah. I get that, though. You know, workplaces are all about the people you work with, you know? So sometimes it's just like, it's just a personality gelling thing.
Yeah.
You know, I get
that. Sometimes you shoot yourself in the foot.
Literally.
Literally. Most of the time it's figurative.
Literally.
Every now and then.
It's literally.
But are we thinking that he did it on purpose or was he just a terrible shot?
I think he might have done it on purpose. But there was enough, because it's one of those stories where it's pretty old and doesn't seem to be a definitive take on it. There was one source actually said that he exploded a grenade on his own foot. So that's quite different.
It is quite different.
And then they just send him away for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Because that seems like it would be hard to recover from.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd have a foot.
No. They'd probably still ask you to fight, though. Look, you've only got one foot left. That's more than some.
Yeah. So.
Which is true.
Yeah.
Back in the First World War, I imagine.
Yeah, get back out there.
You're all right. You're fine.
Towards the end of the war, he was again sent for psychiatric evaluation. And according to Cult Nation, his diagnosis meant that he was finally discharged from duty on disability. In fact, the report given to the military recommended that Petio be committed to an asylum. Instead, he was admitted to an accelerated education program set up for veterans, where he earned a medical degree and began to his practice as a physician.
What the fuck?
Whoa, that really took an unexpected turn. We think you should lock him away. And they're like, nah, he should be one of you. I want your job. All right.
Well, according to, as allthat'sinteresting.com puts it like this, instead of being committed to an asylum as recommended, he interned at one while attending medical school.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's so dumb.
Yeah.
That's really, really dumb.
I reckon it's one of those things, you give someone a bit of responsibility like that and they'll step up.
Yeah.
I reckon that from now on, he's on the straight and narrow. He's like, all right, you let me be a doctor, I'll be a good person. Is this right, Matt?
Yeah, Matt, is this right? Is this the end of the story?
I've got really good intuition.
Did he just marry a nice lady? They settled down, had some kids. He died of old age.
Are you related to this guy? You do have a bit of Swiss Italian.
Yeah.
You could have gone across the border a couple of times.
Yeah, a couple of borders.
Yeah, and then settled down. Is this what happened?
Are you just telling us your ancestry?
I'm just telling you the story of how I grew up.
Hey.
Oh.
Yeah. No, it does not. It doesn't end well.
Oh.
Sorry.
Fuck.
But you know he's a serial killer.
Yeah, I know. We were just hoping that maybe...
I didn't know you meant that literally.
Yeah, literally.
Oh, I thought you meant he's a serial killer. All right. He's a... With the ladies. Wow, what a bit of a serial killer.
Lady killer.
Yeah, but he's actually a killer.
Yeah, just a killer. Yeah,
he kills the bad vibes. Woo! He's a party starter.
Which one is it, Matt?
We're all dancing, but no one can tell.
Well, I guess I think we've found that with a lot of bad people that we've talked about, they're often seen as being charismatic and whatever. And I'm assuming that something like that is how he went from, you know, people saying he needs treatment, him ended up going, it's like he talked his way into getting a degree and said, no, I reckon why don't I just be a doctor?
Like, yeah, you're right. No, why don't you just be a doctor?
I'm not sure how he went about it, but yeah, it must have been.
Something like that.
A bit of a Hannibal Lecter type, I'm imagining. It's like very, very smart, but very, very insane.
Yeah. he obtained his medical degree in 1921 and established a practice in the town of Villeneuve. During his time as a doctor there, some of his dodgy practices included purposefully prescribing his patients addictive substances, as well as secretly applying for state medical assistance for many of his patients, meaning that he received payment from both the patient and the state each time he treated them, according to Cult Nation.
Huh.
So that's...
I mean, that's just a bit clever.
Yeah, I mean...
Wrong!
Just a little bit of, fraud.
Bit of fraud.
I mean, the prescribing addictive substances for no reason is pretty bad.
Yeah, you're playing with people's lives.
Yeah, but they're having a good time.
The article continues saying... He began an affair with the daughter of one of his patients in 1926, a woman named Louise Delavue. She disappeared in suspicious circumstances during their relationship. There were accusations leveled at him by his neighbours, saying that they saw the doctor putting a large trunk in his car, one that looked a lot like a trunk filled with an unidentified woman's body parts that the police pulled out of the Yon River a few weeks later.
When you said trunk, I imagined a tree trunk for some reason.
No, I imagine like storage trunk. The trunk of a car. He's putting a trunk in the trunk.
In a trunk. And they're like, that's suspicious.
Yeah.
Why would you do
that? He can't close the boot. He can't close the
thing. Putting a boot in the boot.
Yeah, he's putting a boot in the boot.
So they did find body parts in a trunk.
Yes.
That looked just like the trunk he put in the trunk.
According to the Cult Nation article, police claimed that this was a coincidence and Delavue was officially logged as a runaway. Never found...
Is this like pre-DNA testing?
Yeah, right? DNA is like, what is that, like 2006?
Yeah. Yeah, when NCIS started.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was NCIS or CSI.
No DNA and CSI.
Right.
Nah,
just not a lot until of CSI in Miami.
Just a lot of blue light.
Yeah, and CSI Miami ripping off
they
NCIS.
They could just find a cum.
Yeah. They did that a lot. They turned the black light on and went, oh, do not look at my pants. Oh, dear.
Oh, no.
Looks like the cum is on my pants.
Yeah!
Sunglasses on, Horatio. I love those intros, are so great.
Yeah. Or should I say, yeah!
I really want to know. It was never proven, but many believe Delavue was Petio's first victim.
Oh.
That's no good.
You'd assume that all the controversy that had plagued him would mean it would be impossible for Petio to enter politics.
But... What the fuck? No.
Yeah, if you did assume that, you would be wrong. Because he ran for mayor of Villeneuve the same year that Delavue went missing.
Oh, my God.
Well, honestly, is it a bit like, well, if I was a murderer, would I run for mayor?
Everyone's like, that's a good point.
If I'd killed my girlfriend, would I be putting my face out there as mayor? Everyone's just like, well played.
Yeah, he is good. Because I reckon if I'd killed my girlfriend, I'd be like laying low.
Yeah, I want to lay low.
But he's just running for mayor.
Wow.
He's innocent. And I'm voting for him.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's got my vote.
You can't prove shit. I think he's all right. Am I going to regret that?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I already do. Yeah.
Of course you will. I hope you will.
Still at the end, I'm like, nah, he's all right.
One of his tactics during the election, apparently, according to the All That's Interesting article, was hiring someone to cause a commotion during a debate with his opponent, which caused his opponent to get flustered.
Oh, my God. That is good.
What a bad, bad man.
That is good stuff.
Is that the worst thing he's ever done?
No.
Oh.
We're in the midst of an election here. Why have none of them tried that?
Just try to cause a bit of commotion.
And just fluster them.
You'll fluster your opposition, I'll tell you.
Just maybe the egg, them. Maybe the egg boy or egg girl was actually...
A flusterer.
Flusterer hired by the opposition.
I think that could be true.
Yeah. Mm. No, this makes sense now.
Whatever his tactics were, they worked as he won.
What?
He became the mayor.
He flustered all 16 of his opponents.
Nobody questioned why there were so many commotions at the debate.
At every rally except his.
Yeah. And he's always like, oh, commotion, this is where I thrive.
Yeah. Keep making noise. I love it.
I've killed and I'll kill again. I've said too much. As with the rest of his life, though, his time as mayor was full of trouble. The trouble included being accused of stealing taxpayers' money and even cans of oil from the train depot. He was doing big and small crime.
He just put oil in his boot?
Yeah, I guess so.
Back into the trunk.
Back in the trunk.
I'm just thinking, when were cars... Like, he would have been an early adopter for cars, right? What are we talking, 1920s? When were cars getting real popular, Dave?
Well, it's kicking off, but have we actually mentioned a car, though?
The boot
in the trunk. Oh.
No, they're talking about a chest of drawers type.
But
trunk.
Wasn't that into a trunk? Yeah, putting a large trunk into his car.
Oh, wow, maybe he's an early adopter. Or he put it into the back of his horse-drawn carriage.
You just made my head get hot. I'm like, wait. Did I imagine the thing that I said?
Have you got hot head?
I got hot head, man. I'm a real hot head. You know what us fiery redheads are like? We'll go off at a drop of a hat.
All right, mate.
Don't drop my hat.
At this point, you're Auburn, you know? Like, you're not a fiery redhead. You're Auburn.
I'm a fiery red face.
At the moment, yes.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
So he's, as mayor... He's stealing cans of oil from the train station.
What kind of oil?
I guess.
Olive oil.
Yeah, olive oil.
Extra virgin?
Yeah.
Like the good
stuff?
The
good stuff, yeah.
Oh, okay, fair. Because that stuff is expensive.
Like tiny cans.
Yeah. You get like a 1 liter bottle. Sure, it'll last you a while, but it's not bloody cheap.
He's getting the ones that are flavored, like the chili one.
Yeah.
And a bit of, what is that, little dukkah?
Yep.
Dukkah?
Yep.
That's a word I've never said out loud.
I think it's dukkah.
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 Unless I'm wrong.
Well,
we just put out three options there, and
yeah,
one of them's right.
One of us got it. I'm sure we got it.
He was
ends up being the car.
So the klepto stuff never goes away. He's always
once a klepto, always a klepto.
Always
love stealing oil.
Yeah,
to build an oil fort.
It's always forts with this guy. Imagine an oil fort.
Slippery,
isn't that? But in the old, the Middle Ages or whatever, wasn't oil used in forts a bit? Hot oil? Was that a real thing? They poured hot oil on the enemies?
Yeah, from the top. Yeah, yeah. There's little holes and
stuff. So maybe he's learning from history.
Yeah, he's building a fort made fully of oil.
He misunderstood, though. The bricks were still made of bricks. Yeah. He's just heating up oil.
No one's getting inside this can.
So he was suspended from his mayoral duties. I should say, we say mayor, but I think other places say mayor or mayor. Do they?
What are you talking about?
I think in America
everyone
they say
says
mayor.
Mayor. No, they say mayor.
I think in
the mayor of New York City.
Mayor. Don't they say mayor?
No, it's mayor.
Mayor. Because
are you thinking of John Mayer?
John Mayer. They call him John Mayer.
Or we call him John Mayer.
We call him John Mayer.
Yeah. Mayer. It's Mayer.
It's always. Is it always Mayer?
It's always
no,
Mayer.
But I know what you mean. Sometimes in the South, if there's an accent, you could hear Mayer.
Mayer.
Mayer Barnaby.
Well, I do protest, Mr. Mayer.
Well, I do say.
Yeah, you're just doing an accent. Yeah.
I am a Southern Belle, sir.
I don't think anyone's been confused up until this point.
Well, it's possible they thought I was talking about a woman horse.
Yeah, he ran to be the town's woman horse, the only one, so all the boy horses got to fuck him.
This mayor makes me feel like a cat on a hot tin roof.
Sometimes I forget Dave studied drama because he really can transform a scene, can't he? I'm a Southern mayor. A mayor.
I tips my hat.
Everyone's on board with mayor.
So he was suspended from his
who?
Mayoral or mayoral? Mayoral duties. His mayoral duties. And once again charged. This time, though, he was found guilty and sentenced to spend 3 months in jail. This decision was appealed and subsequently overturned.
Oh, my God.
How many second chances is that already?
I think, it's three, four, it's going to be four or five.
Yeah.
Four times he's been evaluated and they've gone, he meant well.
You're right.
He's stealing oil.
So amongst all this, in 1927, he married a woman named Georgette LeBleu.
Oh, look, Georgette, you poor woman.
LeBleu.
LeBleu. It was all a LeBleu.
LeBleu.
What can I say?
LeBleu.
They had a son the following year.
Honeymoon baby.
And
I love a honeymoon baby.
What's his son's name?
Really?
Yeah.
You're into that.
The royal baby. I mean, they haven't even been married a year. Or close to.
Shotgun wedding, I tell you.
Yeah, I tell you what. Dave, it was just a honeymoon baby, like within a few months of them being wed.
Their son was named Gerhard.
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 That's the first name.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful name.
Gerhard, yeah.
I really like it. Actually genuinely.
Yeah, it's a good name. I think it's a good name.
Gerhard is a cool name.
After the charges were overturned, he returned to his mayoral duties.
What?
They let him back in.
They let him back in.
Apparently he was so popular. I think when he stepped down, the rest of the council resigned as well.
Like if he's out, we're out.
I think so.
That's dumb.
That's somewhere. Yeah, he was obviously always, he was getting votes and people liked him even though he was clearly, it's real confusing sort of character. So he returned to the gig as mayor, but accusations of theft continued to be thrown at him till he was finally officially booted from the office in 1931.
Right, so he's sort of yo-yoing a bit and then in and out.
Yeah.
Exactly. Around a month after he was booted, he sought election as the district's representative in the general council. He won, becoming the youngest man to do so at about 33 years of age, 33, 34.
What, how? Do they not look at his record that he's been kicked out of as mayor twice?
Yeah, I think, and this feels like, I think he's, so his mayor's obviously the local, that's the city mayor. I think this is more of a, he's going for a seat in a more national.
And what's the title?
The general council.
Can you say that in a proper southern voice?
General council.
Well, just in case you didn't know what Matt was trying to say.
Yeah.
Whilst in the position, he was accused of stealing electricity, which led to him being fined.
Where was he putting it?
I don't know. In his fort. He was making electrical
fort. In his fort. First he put it in his trunk and he drove it to his castle.
And that led to him being fined and booted from that position as well.
I mean, mate, you've got it pretty sweet, surely. You're getting paid all right.
I don't fully understand how you steal electricity.
Yeah, I guess he's a really long extension lead.
Really, really
he's
long.
Plugged it in.
Yeah.
To like
the next door neighbor's
and then he's just a long lead into his place, and he's like got six toasters going.
Yeah, doesn't need them
around the clock.
Yeah,
he takes the bread out and throws it out.
Yeah,
I imagine he's not even putting bread in; he's just putting it down, it popping back down, popping.
He stood there for 17 hours once just doing that, and nobody realized that something wasn't quite right.
Until the electricity bill came through, and it was like 10 grand.
Yeah, and his neighbors were like, hang on a sec. Is enough to power six toasters for 17 hours.
I thought I was having a stroke. I was smelling burnt toast, but it's just the neighbour.
Unbelievable.
It's ridiculous.
Well, anyway, he lost his job because of all that toast.
Wow.
Toast is never worth it.
Yeah.
Losing
is that your motto?
No, I love toast.
Toast's so good.
I've toasted.
I really got to cut back. Oh, yeah. Vegemite toast, I love it.
Oh, I'll go peanut butter girl myself.
Oh,
yum yum yum!
I'm a baked bean.
Come on, Dave.
I'm in polite company now. You know this is going out. People are going to hear this.
People are
going
to know.
You going to say that? Do you want me to edit that out?
Please, no. I want everyone to know. I'm proud of it.
Okay,
you baked beans. Be.
Oh. There's going to be backlash about this.
Yeah.
Well, at Dave Warnocky, get in contact.
Don't open a dialogue about it.
I wouldn't if I were you.
I wouldn't. He'll probably just try and make you eat baked beans or toast.
They call me the bean boy.
All right.
Yuck.
Stop trying to make that catch on. We are not going to call you bean boy.
You're not going to. No one's calling you bean boy.
Please tweet me at bean boy. I can look up if that's a real account. I'm sure it is.
It has to be.
If not, I will be taking
you. You could be bean boy one. Bean boy 01.
The bean boy.
The lizard man also loves beans.
Oh.
He loves butter beans.
Oh, he loves
butter. What do you got to remember about the lizard man? He loves butter beans.
Damn, at bean boy is taken by someone who hasn't tweeted since 2013.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Take
it off him.
Take it.
Le raconteur formidable.
Oh, he's won me back.
That's the description. What about the bean boy? And if it is, I'll set it up. Fuck, the bean boy's taken.
What about Le Bean Boy?
Yeah, oh, Le Bean Boy.
Le Bean Boy, surely.
What about La 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 Bean Boy?
La 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 Bean Boy. La La La. At Le Bean Boy is not taken.
All right.
I will be setting that up. And I'll be tweeting exclusively about my baked bean meal. So if you are interested, follow me at La Bean Boy.
La La Bean Boy.
La La La
La Bean Boy.
First post should be a video of Jess singing La 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 Bean Boy.
Okay. I'm just
gonna La 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 Bean Boy. La 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 Bean Boy.
No, you can't start now.
Do it now, quick.
La 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 Bean Boy. La 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 bean boy, bean boy, da 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 bean boy, la la bean boy, la bean boy.
Thanks everyone. So just follow at la bean boy for exclusively baked bean related tweets. Wow. This and if I get a million subscribers or followers, I will
eat a bean.
I'll
eat one bean.
I'll eat an entire cold can live.
Oh,
how about that?
Yeah,
I'll do it. Just all it will take is 1 million followers.
Is that all?
Is that all? That's all we have to do.
How many followers you got on your actual account?
Slightly less than 1 million. Okay. So I will have to try and make this more popular than I am.
How does that feel?
It's got a life of its own though, Labine Boy.
Yeah.
I will be selling t-shirts, Labine Boy. I love Labine.
Slave to Labine.
God, it hurts.
Dave, do you want to tell us about that great new product?
Ah, yes. Thank you, Matt. I just want to say that this episode of Do Go On is brought to you and the good people at home by Skillshare.
Skillshare.
Skillshare is an online learning community for creators with more than 25,000 classes in design, business, and more. On Skillshare, you'll discover countless ways to fuel your curiosity, creativity, and career. You can take classes in social media marketing, mobile photography, creative writing, even illustration. There's so many classes on there. So many.
But what I like as well is it's not just like really big things like how to run a business and stuff like that. It can be little things too. And one that I want to do is about happy house plants, caring for your plants, because I don't have a lot of light in my house and my plants keep dying and I need to improve that skill rather than just ignoring it.
Yeah.
Getting new plants.
That course is trending at the moment. So is this one, which I think I find interesting. Negotiating with clients as well as pricing your work. Ooh. Real good for freelancers and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. It's hard to know your worth really, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a great one.
I think, yeah, people, especially in, you hear that in entertainment and stuff, freelancers chronically underprice themselves.
Yeah. Not me. I quote too high and very rarely get work. So I should probably take that.
You should also take that course. Yeah.
Get a better idea of how to.
I think it'll help you in either way. There is literally, like, I feel like you think of a thing that you want to be able to do. Yeah. There's a course on here. Say a thing.
Oh, God, you put me on the spot.
Origami.
Origami. Yep. Done. Next.
Knitting.
Knitting. Yeah, mate. I think there's knitting.
Oh, yeah, there is knitting.
There's so much knitting. What do you want to learn? Cozy house socks, an introduction to sock knitting?
That's the next thing I was going to say.
Yes, it's there.
There are over 25,000 classes there, so there's so many things. And if you would like to join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today, we have a special offer just for our listeners. You can get 2 months of Skillshare for free. That's right, Skillshare is offering Do Go On's listeners 2 months of unlimited access to over 25,000 classes for free. So you can knit, you can paint, you can cook, you can draw, you can play musical instruments, do it all. And to do that, sign up, go to skillshare.com/dogo. That is D-O-G-O. Again, go to skillshare.com/dogo. Do go to start your 2 months now. One more time, finally, skillshare.com/do go. And do go on to be better.
One course, one final one. Knitting 101, create a timeless snood.
I love a snood.
What does that mean?
I love a timeless snood.
It's like a scarf hood kind of thing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And it's timeless.
I might knit myself comfy one. You could wear that at any time. You get a time machine and you're like, which snood do I take? You got to take the timeless one. You don't know where you're going to end up. You don't want to create a scene. Someone's like, what's this future man wearing? Oh, and I thank God he's just wearing a timeless snood. He's probably of our current day.
You're wearing a snood around the French Revolution.
Anyway, we should get back to this serial killer.
All right. Thanks, Skillshare.
So he was done for stealing electricity, got the boot, and I guess at that point he realized maybe he'd used up all the goodwill he had in Villeneuve. So he moved to Paris with his wife and his son in 1933, and there he continued to practice as a doctor and again enjoyed a good reputation. But his criminal activities continued unabated. He built a new medical practice at 66 Rue Calmartin in Paris.
What did he build the practice out of?
He built it out of sticks. Sticks. Which was a bad idea.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, it is better than oil.
Yeah.
True. He's going in the right direction.
Exactly. He's
sure.
Working his way through the products.
They weren't his sticks.
Of course they weren't.
He's stealing sticks.
He's a doctor. He's got the money for sticks.
So he built a new medical practice and also a great reputation in the community. According to an article on Murderpedia, have you seen this website?
Murderpedia.
I've used Murderpedia. I'm a big fan.
It's good. It collates a bunch of articles on certain topics. This one is really good. This is probably the best one I've found. It would have been hard not to just read this whole thing out because it's very good. But anyway, it's an article by Michael Newton, and in it he says, Petiot promoted himself with typical zeal in Paris, offering patients a wide variety of treatments, claiming credentials both real and imaginary. Advertisements...
I've got a degree in unicorns.
Well, okay, please, give my head a massage.
Advertisements described him as an intern, spelt I-N-T-E-R-N-E, at one mental hospital, where he had actually been an intern with the E with an accent on top, which means patient. So you take the accent off. He took the accent off, meaning he was an intern there when actually he was a patient. So just all he had to do, and this is that was actually in the when This was suggested by Jamie. That was one of the things they mentioned.
That is actually
pretty fascinating about it. He just took off the accent and that changed his
like I've done an internship.
Yeah.
Wow. Honestly, I mean, just make up a new word.
Yeah. Is the whole problem here the French language? This whole time, is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Every time you should go to jail, but they just take off some little thing, accent or a little umlaut or whatever here, and it's like, oh, actually, no, you. Sorry, did I say you had to be here? No, you get to run here. Great.
I missed that umlaut.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, a little bit of dirt, just flip that off, and that just changes history. Okay.
That's wild.
So the article goes on to say, outside his home office at 66 Rue Kilmartin, Petio erected a brass plaque so jam-packed with phony endorsements that another physician complained to the medical association and Petio was forced to remove it.
He had a brass plaque. Yep. I love that. Can you just get them?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, my grandpa had one in his house.
Really? What did it say?
You just get it.
Yeah, you just get it. Well, you know, it's like a dental surgeon, so doctor, blah, blah, all these things, and then like Order of Australia, all this stuff underneath it. Yeah.
What?
Just next to his front door. I was like, well played.
Did he actually have an Order of Australia?
Yeah, it's got something like that, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
He just had OAM written there, but actually.
Yeah.
Really, if you put the accent above the A.
Yeah. You're actually an Order of Australian mucking about.
Yeah, all right.
So, yeah.
Quite different.
Very different. But unless you look into it, you wouldn't know.
You can be both, though.
You can. Yeah.
You can be a bit of a rat bag, but also have the Order of Australia medal.
That's true.
Before long, he was in different kinds of trouble. So he's already had his brass plate removed.
Not.
What next?
What more could possibly happen? That's the worst thing that could happen to a person.
Mm. Yeah. And the worst thing that's happened to him so far.
According to all that's interesting, the physician was fined 2,400 francs for his prescribing of illicit narcotics, a charge for which he would have gone to trial had the two addicts set to testify against him not disappeared under mysterious circumstances shortly before the trial began. Appeared would have been if they appeared.
Whoa! Like mysterious smoke bomb.
We are here. We're here. Testify!
And the judge was so like, not happening. Not happening. Get out.
This
get
is
out.
Mysterious. No, they did the opposite. They disappeared.
Yes.
Right. Smoke bomb.
They're gone. Boom. I'm gone.
Both disappeared.
Apparently.
What are the chances?
Yeah.
That they both become runaways.
Yeah, a couple more runaways.
I would run away.
Yeah, they joined the cause.
Wow. I would
run away.
Is that the cause?
Yeah, the CAUSE. Fight the power.
And I'm falling in love with
people should be more impressed than you. That was the cause.
Yeah, that was very good.
Thank you.
I was impressed, but I was busy singing. Now I'm done.
You to stop and be impressed.
I was finished singing.
I was impressed that Jess knew the bit after that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is a song that no one has thought of for a long time.
Get out of town.
You get to at the end of I Would Run Away and it's like.
Nah, it's a great one.
You knew it.
Yeah. Love the cause.
You love everything Ireland.
I love Ireland.
Yeah.
I'm wearing green right now.
You are.
And I feel like without even me saying that, some people got that vibe.
Yeah.
They were listening. They're like, oh, she sounds like she's wearing green.
Yeah.
And they were right.
And we're right.
Mm.
What colour am I wearing, listener?
Ha, trick question. He's naked.
Yes.
Sucked in.
Matt prefers to work in the nude and we respect his choices. We don't like it, but we respect it.
Just feels, I feel more of a flow.
Yeah. And we see the difference. We hear the difference. Mm. But obviously we can't look at you.
No.
Yeah.
It's also a clear desk, which was a bad choice on our part when we were furnishing this studio.
The Bermuda Triangle episode is the only one I wore clothes. And, I mean, I think you can hear how restrictive
an absolute
that was.
Mess.
It was a messy episode.
Barbados. That is the influence of pants.
Yeah. Mm. Get them off. Get them out. I don't want them.
Get them out of here. Mm.
Very restrictive of the vocal cords, pants.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's where some of my best vocal cords live.
Regret face.
So he kind of got away with that one. He was again arrested soon after, though. It just feels like he spent most of his time being arrested.
Yeah.
Imagine like your doctor, your neighborhood doctor, has just got the cops around all the time. He's just always been put into the back of a divvy van. Be like, that's classic Dr. Marcel. Don't worry about him. He'll get out of it.
He'll be back.
He's never done anything. I don't know why they're always after him.
Yeah.
How are all of these people so bad at reading other people that none of them have gone, I don't know, it just gives me the heebie-jeebies, you know?
Or that they don't keep records at all.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Obviously, he just moves to a new place and everyone's like, you seem great. Yeah. I'm not going to look into you at all.
He just chucks a little umlaut on the top of words and it goes from saying criminal mastermind to real good guy.
Yeah. Trustworthy.
It's a beautiful
chap language.
Wow. It's just, it changes. So tonal.
So this time he was arrested for theft again, as well as assaulting a police officer. But again, he was acquitted due to his mental fitness and was sent to spend time in a mental health facility. He was released after a couple of months, and despite there being continuing doubts from some doctors about his mental health, he was just back out.
Oh, my God.
Ready to practice medicine.
What seems to happen is they go, you are too mentally ill to go to jail. Where you should be is out there on the streets.
Practicing medicine.
What?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
What do you mean? You can't go. You're too unwell to go to jail, so don't worry about it.
It sounds like their system wasn't great. I mean, we ought to still talk about in Australia, our mental health system here is requiring work.
A lot of work.
And this is a long time ago.
This is 100 years ago.
Of course, but yeah, that's...
Yeah, it sounds like the system is... It's bloody Swiss cheese. There's a lot of holes in it.
That's very good.
There's a Swiss Italian coming through.
Yeah, he knows...
I talk in cheese analogies.
Oh, this sounds like a Gouda story to me.
I was going with Gouda.
Sorry. I'll be brief.
Everyone in the world listening had the thought of Gouda all bit their tongue. Jess and me included, Dave. Is why you're the master of the puns.
Jess was also going for it,
I was
just
a
little quicker than you were.
I didn't.
Don't get all blue about it, Jess. Blue cheese.
Fuck off.
My personal favourite time.
I would have accepted if you said, don't get all blue cheese about it, Jess.
Yeah.
Then that's a funny joke.
That's funny. Okay. But just saying blue about it and then saying blue cheese, my favourite cheese. Like no one cares.
Well, I've got great pecorinos, so.
Okay.
Yeah, but it definitely sounded like you were talking about your balls. Do you reckon?
I mean, I will admit that it's confusing because I do call my balls my pecorinos.
Like, look at the pecorinos on this guy.
But that's pecorinos with an umlaut. You understand?
Well,
tonal.
I couldn't hear that, could I?
No, but if you see it written down, you'd understand the difference.
Of course. I'm not an idiot. I'm not a pecorino.
Which is something you say about idiots.
Yeah. They're
basically calling them Dave's balls. Check out the couple of Dave's balls over here.
Yeah.
My balls are not intelligent.
They are jokers. Dave's got dumb balls.
Yeah.
There. We said it.
Okay.
Hey,
we still love you, dumb balls and all.
No challenges here.
The elephant in the room has been called out now, which is what I call those balls.
They are quite big.
Jumbo.
Yeah.
It's got jumbo balls.
Jumbo and Dumbo.
Yeah, maybe you want to argue with my friends, Jumbo and Dumbo.
Oh, please don't beat me up. Oh, I wasn't going to beat you up. I'm just going to slap you in the face with my balls.
Just going to down trow.
I'm just going to teabag you.
Love my job. Is there something there?
So he's out again, back at work. But once out, he continued committing crimes, including tax fraud, and was again charged, and this time fined.
Oh, they fined him?
After living in Paris for 6 years, he'd built up a large rap sheet. And by this stage, it was 1939, and Dave, I don't know if you're in France, pretty significant year, because that is when the Second World War broke out.
So I thought the Saints sort of won some sort of premiership.
No, Dave, they've never won a premiership.
They have won.
Which one?
66.
When? No.
39, I thought.
You've not mentioned that. I think I'd know if the Saints had won a premiership in 66.
Okay.
I don't think Paris was very significant to World War II, though, so it's barely worth mentioning.
Okay, great.
Yeah, weird that you bring it up.
Weird.
Oh, it was mainly because the Nazi Germany invaded and occupied Paris.
Can I ask an incredibly quick question?
Sure.
Is his wife still with him?
Yes.
Why?
I think she might be...
in on it?
bit, yeah, I don't know how much in because not many of the stories talk about it, but she definitely, as it gets worse, she was an accomplice. I think.
You're telling it's going to get worse.
Yes.
Huh. What, worse than stealing some oil? I don't believe it.
I do say.
I feel like every year there's been something. He's, what is it, 1939? How old is he now? He's early 40s and he's been arrested a lot.
Yeah,
but also, maybe when there's no charge, maybe there's not a record. I wonder. Or would it just be a long record rap sheet of
nothing
released?
Yeah,
but overturned, like, acquitted.
Like, obviously, one file because there's no like overarching system back then.
So. Yeah,
and then you move, you know, a couple of police stations over, and they just don't know who you are anymore.
Remove out of their jurisdiction.
Yeah.
So it's now World War II. France and Paris have been invaded by Germany. And it seems that Dr. Marcel Petiot used the chaos of war to his benefit. He worked as a member of the resistance, helping provide false medical records for French citizens who were being sent into German labor camps. It's basically people who, if you're picked to go into these labor camps, he would write up a thing saying, actually, they're unfit for these reasons and get them out of it.
Oh, he's actually doing good work finally.
And he also treated sick workers who returned from the camps. All that's interesting is articles suggest that this was possibly just to garner public trust and admiration and thus better conceal his illicit acts, which increasingly involved the sale of illegal drugs. That may have worked in part, but not entirely, because in 1942 he was charged, convicted, and fined for overprescribing narcotics, something that he'd done throughout his whole career. And I think that's just for the cash, I guess. He's basically like a semi-legit drug dealer. He gets people addicted and then keeps prescribing and making money out of it. I think that's the point of it. Now we're getting to the next section is the fucked section. It's kind of where he got his nickname, you know, the Satan and all those kind of
what
nicknames.
Were the nicknames again? Yeah.
Dr. Satan's the big one. That's probably what this episode will be called,
I
think.
That's a good one.
Also, the demonic ogre
Dr. Satan, the butcher of Paris. Dr. Satan. Dr. Satan.
Trying
to keep it light.
Thank you. He gave himself a new alias, Dr. Eugene, and set up what he spruced as an escape network for resistance fighters, including also Jewish people and others who needed to escape the Nazis. According to Cult Nation, he claimed that his network, which he called Flytox, which is a real modern sort of bad fake corporation name, Flytox.
Yeah, it does sound like in the 80s, like a movie would, like the bad corporation would be called Flytox.
Yeah. So he claimed that his network Flytox worked in conjunction with Argentinian authorities to safely transport people to South America without the knowledge of the German invaders. When the Gestapo heard about his supposed escape network, though, they infiltrated it. And apparently it was pretty easy to do because he was pretty open about it. He had people out there spruiking it for him, trying to get people in, going, hey, if you... And it was quite expensive. I think the equivalent of something like $500,000. You pay him $500,000, he'd get you to Argentina.
That is a lot of money.
Yeah, which meant that I don't think he was able to, like a lot of people couldn't afford it, right? The Gestapo heard about the network because it was pretty kind of an open secret.
So they're like tapping the Gestapo people on the shoulder. Hey, you got 500 grand, I'll get you to Argentina, away from these nuts.
Nothing, no worries.
Have to go nine.
Oh, I'm crazy. Bye-bye.
Don't follow me.
So the Gestapo infiltrated and they believed it was made up of a large number of spies, but it was actually only an operation of probably single digits.
Of one.
Maybe five, I read somewhere, including Petiot, his wife, and then three other accomplices. Hmm. Maybe his brother, who's mentioned one time somewhere. The Gestapo jailed Petiot while they investigated. And he was in jail for quite a while, but they couldn't figure out what was going on. They released him.
What? Even they are releasing him?
Yeah, but apparently...
crazy.
Well, what they had, while he was in jail, they tortured his accomplices and got information out of him. But it was kind of like this weird scenario where all of a sudden the Gestapo were like almost the good guys in this weird scenario. They're the ones who are trying to figure out what this fucked guy's doing. But they have no idea. I think they think he's doing something good, maybe, but he's actually also doing something bad.
So, but they let him go.
They released him, and apparently it was sort of getting late in the war and the Germans had other issues. You know, they had bigger problems.
Like that, what? That was,
I think the war was starting to turn against them.
Oh.
Yeah, no turkeys for Christmas.
Ah. Oh.
It's pretty bad Christmas.
That sucks.
So this, now I'm going to explain what he'd been doing a bit. What Petiot had been doing was taking the people seeking refuge into his home. Then he'd tell them that the Argentinian government stipulated that they needed to be injected with inoculations against various diseases before they went over to Argentina. But the injections were actually cyanide.
What?
So he'd take their $500,000.
And what was that inoculating them against?
Life.
Oh!
So he kills them and then steals whatever money and belongings they have left. And then he'd get rid of the bodies. Apparently at first he dumped them into the Seine. Which is, I believe, the river in Paris.
The Seine,
thank you. But as the Nazi occupation of Paris intensified, it was too risky for him to take the bodies out of his house to dispose of. So he began putting the bodies in vats full of chemicals to dissolve them. And it's also said that he also burnt bodies in a furnace in his basement. He had a couple of properties as well. So
doctors.
Yeah. Ugh.
Investment properties. Yeah,
negative gearing all over the shop, I bet.
I'm gonna read this next chunk is from that article by Michael Newton. This sort of takes up the scenario from there. On Monday morning, March the 6th, 1944, foul smoke poured from the chimney of a stylish home at 21 Rue Le Sueur, Paris.
Oh, Rue Le Sueur. That sounds very stylish.
Yeah, I'm not pronouncing any of those words right. Is that at least how you say rue?
Yeah, yeah. It basically means street.
Yeah. Neighbours suspiciously eyed the three-storey 19th-century house with its private stable and courtyard, once the home of a lesser French princess.
I'm about to introducing yourself. Hello, I am Anastasia, a lesser French princess.
I'm a B-grade princess.
As the hours, then days, dragged on with no abatement of the noxious smoke, a neighbour finally went to complain on Saturday, March the 11th.
Oh, a week later?
Yeah.
God, they are patient.
Do you reckon either their husband or wife's like, you got to say something. You got to. No. All right. If it's still going tomorrow, now go on the weekend. Yeah. Or go on the weekend. It's been going for 7 days, honey. Yeah. Get out there.
That's too much.
Yeah. But I guess at the same time, they have been living through Nazi occupation in their city. So I guess there's like a lot of bad things are happening. But true. That does sound. Anyway. Mm. So he found a note tacked onto the door that said, away for 1 month. Forward mail to 18 Rue des Lombards in Auxerre. Police were summoned and a pair of officers arrived on bicycles. Neighbours informed them that the owner of the house, Dr. Marcel Petiot, maintained a separate residence 2 miles away at 66 Rue Cumartin, the one we were talking about before. Some noted the mysterious parade of callers at Dr. Petiot's empty house during the past 6 months, including nightly visits from a stranger with a horse cart. Some months earlier, two trucks had stopped at number 21, the first removing 47 suitcases, while the second delivered 30 or 40 heavy sacks of something unknown, which I think is this chemical or this substance, lime, I'm guessing, lime something.
Oh, that breaks down bodies?
I think so,
yeah. I reckon this is one of few benefits of neighbours being really nosy, because that's when crimes get solved.
Yeah, because I
had 46 suitcases. No, honey, it was 47.
I counted. You forgot the orange one. It was small.
Of course. I couldn't forget the orange one. Remember we talked about how odd that was that they had an orange one.
Because I have some very nosy neighbours.
Do you?
Very, very nosy neighbours. And you're right. The one thing is
they've stopped your crime waves.
No one will ever break into the apartment complex because they're always just watching. Oh. Either that or they'll watch someone do it and go, yeah, I saw them do it.
Yeah.
I was watching.
That's comforting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So at least we'll have a description.
Right.
Possibly.
So they'll be there for the news reporters. Yeah, I saw it happen.
Yeah.
No, hmm. I didn't do anything about it.
What do you expect me to do?
Right.
Reporters are always getting them to describe. What was it? What did it sound like? It was a bang, but what was it like? Like an explosion? Like a bank.
What do you want me to say? I'll tell you what do you need?
Feed me the line. Just feed me the line.
What do you need?
You've got a script here. You're trying to get me to say something you need. Yeah. Just tell me. I'll say it.
What it is.
Would you, if you saw a reporter, would you talk to him? I feel like I wouldn't.
Nah.
I don't know why, but I just feel like.
No.
Yeah, I don't know why that instinct is. It's like, go away. I don't know. Talk to the cops.
Yes, I talk to the police.
Oh, are you stupid?
I'm a narc.
I'm telling them everything.
Check out this narc.
I didn't see nothing.
Well, obviously it depends. What have you done wrong?
Yeah. I didn't see nothing. You can't make me talk. You got a warrant?
Yeah.
Get out of here. That's Dave.
Okay. 46 suitcases. That's all you're getting out of me. Okay, so this article by Michael Newton goes on. There's been people observing all these weird things happening. The officers telephone, and the cops have arrived.
Yep.
On bicycles.
On bikes, which is very cute. Officers, Parisian.
Mm. Yeah, there's a baguette in the basket on the front.
And a little dog.
Yes. And a little dog. A French bulldog.
His name is Officer Woof. And he is the cutest officer on the force.
He will crack the code.
He is a good boy. He is a good boy. Officer Woof.
We need him to use his little gris hairs.
Sorry, Dave. I think that was a Belgian accent you just did.
So close. So, so close.
So these two officers and their dog telephoned
Officer Woof.
Officer Woof telephoned Dr. Petitot at home. He asked whether they had entered the house. You haven't entered the
You haven't checked the downstairs cupboard, have you?
You haven't gone down to the basement and seen all the bodies, have you?
No. Oh, no. Did I clean up the blood? I forget. I have forgotten.
I've said too much. Gotta make a quick call.
And then he forgets to take him off hold. And he's going, honey.
Honey, can you go get rid of them bodies?
The police are on to us.
Doctor, it is still I.
Woof.
Officer Woof is getting a promotion after this, I reckon. This is some good work.
So Officer Woof's on the phone. I guess he's got like a hands-free sort of Madonna mic.
Yeah. Set up. A headset.
You'll go for Woof.
Call 1-800-WOOF if you have any information. Go for Woof.
So
that's a sitcom.
He said, you haven't entered, have you? They said, no, we haven't.
Oh God,
so sus.
So he cautioned, don't do anything. I'll be there in 15. A half hour later, with the smoke worsening and sign of Petitot.
People they're always lying about how quickly they
can. Yeah.
Yeah, I always say that.
Yeah, I'm 5 away. I'm 15 away.
Yeah, easily.
My GPS is saying 15. You're 20.
Yeah.
You're going to find a park. You know?
Yeah. You haven't calculated that, have you?
Get up the stairs. Stupid GPS. Wait for the lift. That always takes a while.
That's right.
So half hour later, he suddenly arrived. The smoke was worsening. There was no sign of him. The patrolman called for firefighters, which makes sense. Probably could have done that straight up, I reckon. But entering through a second-story window, firemen searched the upper floors before entering the basement. They soon emerged, one vomiting.
Gastro. Awful timing.
And that's really contagious. I would recommend the others will end up getting it.
Get away.
Yeah, stay away from him.
It's airborne, mate. Need to see a doctor.
Well, somebody get Officer Woof. He's got a low immune system.
And the chief of the firemen told the cops, "You have some work ahead of you." After coming out of the building, three officers next went downstairs, where the coal-fed stove was found burning full blast, a human arm dangling from its open door.
Oh.
Nearby, a heap of coal was mixed with human bones and fragments of several dismembered bodies. It was impossible to count the victims in this tableau of grisly disarray. So this is what I'm talking about. This is the beautiful wordsmithery of Michael Newton.
Whoa.
He's turned in a real fucked up scenario into a poetry. Tableau of grisly disarray.
So hang on a sec. He's left the house.
Yeah.
Just with that fire burning.
Yeah.
And he's been gone a while.
Yeah.
Like a week.
Yeah, at least a full week.
Well, that fire's been going for a week anyway.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know, if, I mean, the note on the door, is that, I'm not sure if he's actually been away or if that's just he's out at the moment. Or he's probably working, you know, he's probably getting people addicted to drugs up the road or something.
Oh, that is just wild and gross.
And these are all the rich people that wanted to go to Argentina.
Yeah, these are the desperate people who are the Nazis are after, right? So Jewish people,
yeah,
people working for the resistance.
Yeah, that is nasty stuff.
And
it's so fucked.
I missed it. He did turn up half an hour later. No, he hasn't turned up.
No, he's on the phone.
Right, yeah, okay, sorry.
At this stage.
Because imagine, like, the police are going in and he's like, but he's not there. Yeah. Okay.
No. This is the article continues. Yeah. Stunned, police left the basement at about the time Dr. Marcel arrived on his bicycle.
He just kept riding. Whoa!
He puts on a fake mustache and keeps going. I am Marcel's brother.
I am the good twin.
He arrived on his bicycle and remarked, "This is serious. My head could be at stake."
Whoa.
What?
He's realised he might be in trouble because the cops are...
Do you reckon?
And he's been arrested like a dozen times and it's never stuck. So he's probably
This is the first time he said, oh, this one's serious.
This could be serious.
The heaps of bodies and evidence, this could do me in, I reckon. Then after questioning each of the lawmen to ascertain that they were French, Petiot identified the basement dead as Germans and traitors to our country. So first he was like going, wait, so which side are you on?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you they're the bodies of the enemy, I guess is what his thoughts were. So if they were Nazis, he would have said, yeah, I'm working for you. I mean, that's what I'm inferring from that. Petiot claimed to be the head of a resistance group with 300 files at home on Rue Coumartin, his other place, which must be destroyed before the enemy finds them. The French policeman, embittered by years of Nazi occupation, allowed Petiot to leave.
What?
Whoa.
7 months would pass before they saw him again.
What the fuck?
So they kind of bought his story enough. And then just in a, I guess in a, like a weak moment in the mind, he just let him go rather than going, you stay with us until we figure out what's going
on. We'll accompany you to these files.
Yes. But it's the brutality of the way he's killed. I'm not saying it's ever okay to kill anyone, but like in that circumstance when he's going, they're baddies. I'm just doing my bit.
Yeah.
The way that he's done it is next level fucked. That you'd still be like, oh, nah, I don't think you're quite right. You know? Does that sentence make sense at all?
Yeah. I imagine that surely they must have had the thought of...
Yeah. That's a bit extreme.
I mean, a firefighter vomited at the scene.
Yeah.
Firefighters see pretty bad stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's the end of that section of that article. But that's a great article if you are wanting to read some more. I'll have links to all these articles in the description. But that's quite a good one. So knowing that it would only be a matter of time before they figured out his lie, right? He's like, and they were basically onto him.
Yeah.
As soon as like those cops talk to their boss, I think their boss is like, oh, you know, we need to get this guy. But by that stage, he'd already started, he's going into hiding. He also changed his name from, because he was going under Dr. Eugene.
Yeah, that's right.
This time he's changed it to Henri Valerie. And
Valerie! So many opportunities to sing in this episode.
It's a real musical.
I'm loving it!
Musical of death.
He moved in with one of his patients as well. So he's lying low, new name, and he also changed his appearance. You suggested fake mustache, but it's kind of what he did, grew out his beard and his hair.
Yeah, great.
Wow. Hot.
I think that every time I get a haircut and I cut it short, I'm like, oh, you idiot. Grow it out.
They're going to be onto you. Yeah. As Valerie, he joined the French forces of the interior and quickly rose to the rank of captain.
What the fuck?
Wow. He must be a great talker.
He has to be. Where are his wife and son? Where's his son?
Mm.
This is insane.
Well, I think the wife was one that I was working with him, I think. Oh, on the, but yeah, the son would still be pretty young. That was the thing. Because I don't talk about the son anymore, but I just mention it because I'm like, through all this, he's had there's a toddler. Yeah. Then I like it. He's gone off to I guess heaps of bad people have gone home and had a family life, but it's just a wild idea.
Yeah, it is. But it's like, do you ever really know someone?
Yeah. Yep. Good point. So he's captain for the French Forces of the Interior as this new identity. And later in the year, a newspaper ran a story about Petiot, which included accusations that he'd worked with the Nazis, apparently. And that kicked off a search for his whereabouts. And apparently, to help with the search, they enlisted the services of Captain Henri Valéry.
Hang on.
What? Apparently. He's now been enlisted to help search for himself.
Apparently.
What the fuck?
Whoa.
What? Fuck.
I only read that in one place, but it was too good. Like, nah. It feels like some of this stuff is like legend, like, sort of myth stuff. Yeah. But
he looks like you, but without a beard. So I reckon you're... If you were him without a beard, where would you go?
Yeah. Hey, don't worry. We've got our best man on the case. This guy looks just like him. And also, Detective Woof. Yes. He's also been bumped up to detective, so he's in plain clothes now.
No, he's wearing a little trench coat.
Yeah.
And he's got a little magnifying glass
and
a notepad.
Yeah, but he still has to be ridden around in the basket.
Man, he's got a little... like
pedal festivus.
He's got a little bag that has his treats in it, yeah. but he has restraint and he's like, only when I'm a good boy. No, I do not deserve a treat. I have not been a good boy.
He continued hiding in plain sight for the following month. But according to all that's interesting again, he gained so much notoriety as a resistance fighter that a French periodical ran a profile of him. When papers hit the stands, several people recognized him as Petiot and alerted police that the murderer, in fact, was still in Paris. So
regular people can recognize him very easily, yet the police were like, you there, give us a hand, would you? What the fuck?
Did we mention that Detective Woof has facial blindness?
Oh, that's not to joke about. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
You couldn't recognize him. I mean, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever had this, Matt, but if you have a beard and then you take it off, a dog might bark at you. Because they don't recognize him. So sure. Wolf might not recognize him with a beard.
Dogs are, yeah.
That has happened to me quite a few times. Yeah. So soon after, he was recognized as Petiot at a train station in Paris and arrested once again.
No. I mean, how many times is that? This is over 10 arrests.
He went to trial yet again. His defense was that everything he did in his role was in his role as resistance fighter for France. He admitted to killing, and I think he said... even he killed about 63. He admitted to killing 63 people, but he said they're all Germans and their collaborators. Right? It was just enemies of France. I killed, but you know, I killed for country. He claimed no knowledge of why bodies were buried at his house, suggesting that the other members of the Fly Tox organization must have done it, throwing them under the bus.
What a prick!
The judge and jury dismissed his claims, though, and he was found guilty of 26 murders. And 99 other criminal charges. The sentence was...
One more charge. Just go, like, steal a pen or something. I guess to round it up.
That gets it up to 125 altogether.
Oh, okay, I'm all right with that.
The sentence was death by guillotine. On the 25th of May, 1945, the execution was carried out. A translation of his final words, according to a bunch of different sources, were, "Gentlemen, I ask you not to look. This will not be very pretty."
Oh,
well, yeah, no shit.
And the guys are, man, I'm chopping heads off all the time. This is what I do. I chop heads off.
For me.
Your neck gizzards are not going to be any worse than
anyone else's neck gizzards.
Sorry to talk in medical terms there.
Yeah, I meant the goo that comes out when I cut off your neck. Cut off your neck.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Death by cutting off of a neck.
Yeah.
So he's... So, I mean, that's a pretty definitive end to it. He's now dead.
That is, his crimes.
He didn't get out of it somehow.
No, I think maybe I'll use this as a final thought. This is, again, from the All That's Interesting article, and this sort of just talks about what you were talking about before, Bob. It says, the inherent grisliness of murder makes it hard, if not impossible, to describe any murderer as better or worse than another.
Mm.
Still, Marcel Petiot was truly superlative in his horror, mainly because of the circumstances and motivations behind his acts. He promised safety and freedom to those leaving Nazi-occupied France, only to strip them of their possessions and lives. So he's like, that's why he started getting the names like Dr. Satan and et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
that's very grim.
Yeah, and I think that's the grisliness of it is, it's unnecessary. I mean, I'm not saying any type of murder is necessary. You know what I mean? Like, he just goes beyond, like, they're already dead. And then he just continues to do gross things. I suppose in a way to just like see what happens or just for, yeah, just yuck.
This is the final line of the, and maybe this will be the final line of the report as well, but from the Michael Newton article. He said, the blade dropped at 5:05 a.m. According to the witnesses, Petiot was smiling as his head tumbled into the basket.
Oh, that's so creepy. Also, why are you doing that at 5 o'clock in the morning? Who's there?
Got an early start. Got a big dad head chopping.
Sure, there's got to be some sort of. It's like how, you know, tradespeople can't use power tools before 7 a.m.
Right.
It should be like that. Like, no head chopping until I've had my coffee.
You're living next to a thing and all, you're like, oh, great. I'm being woken up by the shunk.
Yeah. And the, ooh, you know?
And the sound of a head rolling into a basket.
Yeah, it's a distinctive sound, but once you hear it, you can't unhear it.
Oh,
you know?
God.
Wow, Matt, that was gross and amazing.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it. And it is, I believe it's quite a well-known story in France, but it doesn't seem to be well-known outside of France.
Never heard of him either. But
wow.
Kind of glad I did also. A little scared of him.
Yeah, it's just a pretty frightening guy. There's been multiple movies made about his life, like dramatizations of it. And, you know, he's one of those kind of characters that gets songs and stories and books written about him. So I don't know. Yeah, it's a weird sort of one. We haven't done a serial killer in a while. I think it's, again, because I find it a little bit easier when they're older stories. I feel some distance from it. But I mean, that's in my grandparents' lifetime.
Yeah, definitely. I was just thinking that. Mm. But also, if you take out I think what differentiates it as well with the other serial killers is that a lot of the time with serial killers, we tell it from the perspective of like the police trying to find this person and they don't know anything about them.
Yeah.
And this guy like did so much that if you took out all the serial killing, you'd be like, wow, he got a lot done in a life, you know? And then you add the serial killing and you're like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. Like, he had a whole political career and
like, he was in the war and then politics and then,
he died, died in 46. So that means he was 49. Died of.
Yes, that is a lot of stuff to happen in 49 years.
Yeah. You know, he's achieved a lot. But he's just also done a lot of very bad things.
Mm. He also literally shot himself in the foot.
So it's the kind of thing, it's like, yeah, the system really, he just kept getting away with stuff.
But hey, so many years later was a bit of fun on a podcast, wasn't it?
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you for sharing that story with us.
Yeah. And thanks to the Patreons who voted for it. And, of course, Jamie Svet. Suggesting it.
Svetty.
There were shenanigans. Like, I think their description was pretty
accurate.
Pretty accurate.
Yeah, and when you said Turkmenbashi, I was like, well, this person isn't a political person, though, are they? And then they ended up being, you know, the mayor and that other quite high-ranking role, so they were.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what we normally do at the end of a report, we have a section of the show called Fact, Quote, or Question.
Ooh.
And in it, what you can do if you're a Patreon supporter of the show, you can give us a fact, a quote, or a question. If you're on the, what's the section, what's the level here, Dave? The
Sydney Sheinberg Rest in Peace Deluxe Package.
So if you're on that section, And some people are. And some people on there are not, haven't even given me one yet. You just have to message me on the Patreon.
Yeah, through Patreon. That's the best way. Yep.
I'll semi-regularly send out a call out for them. But this week's fact, quote, or question is coming from Patreon Ben Dragovelic. Or Ben Dragovelic. And he has given us a quote.
Oh, I like a quote.
Yeah, we don't get heaps of quotes. We get a few, but not heaps.
Oh, I'm going to live my life by this quote.
You also get to give yourself a title. And Ben has given himself the title, Your Boy.
Oh, it's Your Boy.
Your Boy. Love Ben. Dragovelic.
Your Boy Ben.
Dragovelic.
Dragovelic.
What's your boy Ben said?
Yeah, come on.
His quote is from an old colleague of his. He says, rule number one, always lead with the money. Rule number two, never not lead with the money. Asterisk, the money in this scenario being what's most important.
Oh, which is always money.
Money. Dave, do you feel comfortable living your life by that?
Absolutely.
I feel like you already were, to be honest. Yeah. You just kind of nailed your vibe.
Yeah, I lead with the money.
Yeah?
And you never not lead with the money.
You know what I end with?
What?
The fucking money.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. There's a song that I think really sums you up, Dave. It's by a little band called ABBA.
Okay.
And it goes a little something like this. It goes, dancing give me, give me, queen. Give me a man after midnight.
Whoa.
The old switcheroo.
I thought we were on the, I thought I was calling it right.
I definitely could have gone with you on that too.
But yours
was
better.
Not to.
I really thought it was going to be.
Give me a man after midnight.
I thought it was going to be Waterloo for sure.
Waterloo. Look, they're all good. That's what we're saying.
I thought it was definitely going to be about a certain battle.
So thanks so much, Ben.
Your boy.
Your boy.
Good on you, Ben.
And
woo! Your boy.
We also.
And, can we just lead with the money now by thanking our most valuable patrons?
Yeah. We love to thank our patrons at the end of the show. Jess gives us a little little game to play and a little name game to play as we thank.
What if we gave them an alias for when they were going into hiding? We give them a fake name.
Okay. What are they going into hiding for? Could be different. Everyone's different?
Everyone's different.
Okay, great. We should say if you want to support us on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/dogoonpod and you get rewards like bonus episodes on certain levels and you get shout outs and you get the fact, quote, or question and other such things. You get to vote on the topics. There's lots of different fun things. And also get into a Facebook group and other such stuff. Anyhow, let me kick it off. Could I thank, firstly, from Perth, beautiful Perth, sunny Perth, Western Australia, Jessica Banaszak.
Oh, nailed that pronunciation, in my opinion.
Jessica, if you disagree, well, bad luck, because Dave reckons I nailed it.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And if you have mispronounced it, she was missing an accent.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. It's chuck a typo.
Chuck a little accent on the top there.
And Jessica is going into hiding. She was competing in a Miss Universe pageant.
Really?
And she went, you know what? Nah. And she left, which should be totally her choice.
Yeah.
But they actually have very strict contracts.
Right.
So breach of contract.
It's just sort of like a reverse Miss Congeniality kind of scenario.
So she's in hiding for a breach of contract.
Yes. She's gone into hiding. She's just going to fly under the radar for a bit.
She grown her hair out?
Oh, yeah, you better believe. That pixie cut that she was rocking.
And what name has she given herself?
She's now Amber Huntington.
Oh, great. Yeah. That's a good name. What a name. That's a really good name. Remember that name.
I think if she returns to the Miss World competition, that's actually quite a nice name.
Amber Huntington. What's wrong with Jessica? You don't like Jessica? You don't think Jessicas can win competitions?
No.
Fair.
I think they can, Jess, if you believe you can. Thank you so much, Jessica. I was talking to you, not obviously anyone in the room here with me. I'd also love to thank from Hampton in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, Adam Tregear. Tregear, son, Tregear.
Okay, I think Adam is gone into hiding because he spilt a meal in a food court. It was really embarrassing.
Yeah. Okay.
There was like sauces everywhere.
Oh, right. A saucy meal.
He made eye contact with the cleaner and was like, I'm so sorry, but yeah. I can't deal with this right now.
Yeah, he was right.
He ran from that shopping center.
Yeah.
And he's been on the run for 9 months.
Wow. Well, does he not know that they can't identify him?
Yeah, he started a new life.
Okay. That seems extreme. And what's his new name?
Dr. Burger.
Okay. Oh, Dr. Burger.
Hiding in plain sight because he was eating a burger.
Oh. That makes sense.
For some reason, when you said like sauces have gone everywhere, I just assumed it was, you know what I was picturing? Like an Asian noodle dish.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Well, he had that on the side.
Oh, hungry boy.
I told you it was a big meal.
You were making me hungry.
Wow.
And so I reckon, based on his location, I reckon it was at Southland.
Yes, it was at Southland, actually. Yep.
Knew it.
Read about it in the news. Made all the front pages.
Adam. Just go home. It's okay.
Dr. Burger.
The cleaner just cleaned it up, mate. It's fine. Nobody else knows. They've
dealt with worse. They deal with poo and vomit.
All the time.
Probably.
Honestly, there was like three other people in the food court at the time and they went, that's a bit weird that he's run off. But they have not thought of you since. Your family are worried. Just come home.
They're so worried.
It's okay. If you started a new family, bring them along too, I guess. Like the more the merrier. We just want you home safe.
The Burger Please. Family.
The Burger family. So thank you to Adam.
Dr. Burger.
May I thank some people also?
Oh, that'd be so great if you could.
I'd like to thank from Ohio.
Oh.
Let me just say
God's country.
Ohio.
I'd like to thank Glenn Mitchell. Never trust a man with two first names.
What? What?
Glenn Mitchell. Matt, what's
Always
Glenn?
Always trust the man with two first
what's
names.
Glenn on the run for? Well, he can't. He's on the run.
Well.
He's gone into hiding.
Yeah, he's gone into hiding.
For what?
Well, he went from being a top line fighter pilot.
Oh.
And he fought one too many of his comrades in the mess hall. And the last one he fought was Johnny Johnson, unfortunately, he was a lowly private, as he called him, as he was slipping the boot in. But unfortunately, Johnny Johnson's old man, Greg H. Geraldine Johnson, is second in charge of the whole goddamn Sky Army. So he is in a pickle, right? And he goes, that's it, I'm out. And he stole one of the planes and he flew to... upper Ohio.
Oh.
Yeah, all the way up to the top of the state and started a career as a talkback radio host. But he puts on a funny voice.
What does he sound like?
Hey, you're on the radio here with me, Jiminy Gigi.
Jiminy Gigi is his.
I'm taking your calls.
Wow.
And no one suspected a thing until now, and obviously we've blown this wide open.
I would listen to that show.
Would you listen to Jiminy Gigi? Yeah.
Jiminy here. What's happening? I'm listening.
Wow, there's a lot of...
Wow, do you listen?
Shush, I'm talking here. God. I'll be listening in a second.
It's really quite confronting to look at.
Yeah, well, thank God this is on radio.
Yeah,
yeah,
because his face is terrifying. So Glenn Mitchell or Jiminy Gigi, thank you for not only your support of Do Go On, but your support of the arts on your show. Mm,
thank you. Thank you.
With Jiminy Gigi. And I'd also like to thank... What's PA?
Pennsylvania.
Is that Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Confident.
Luke Harbour. How would you say
Luke,
that?
I am your harbour.
Okay.
Well, if we See were that. Naming like their debut albums, sure. But we're not.
That's a great debut album name.
Dave.
Luke, I am your harbour.
What's well Luke? Well on done. The run from?
Luke is on the run.
Man on the run.
he went fishing with his best friend. And
what's his best friend name?
Sweet Baby Joe.
Sweet Baby Joe.
Well, that's what he calls him. And they went fishing together and they hooked onto a fish. Well, Luke will tell you he got it first.
Sure.
Sweet Baby Joe will tell him he got it first, but they double hooked this fish and then they pulled it in. It was like a record catch for Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And they got it back into the boat after like hours of battling the fish and they battled it out as to who caught the fish. I'm afraid Luke lost the battle.
Right.
but he stole the fish.
No.
He's gone into hiding.
Yeah, fair enough.
With a fish that is rotting.
Yeah, but a really big rotting fish.
But what's he changed his name to while he's hiding?
Diamond Tooth Chris.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that is good.
I don't suspect him.
Diamond Tooth Chris. Thank you, Luke.
I've already forgotten he did anything.
Yeah.
Did what?
Look, he has had a diamond installed into his tooth, so when he smiles, he goes, ping!
Yeah.
And you go, I trust this guy.
It's very distracting, and therefore people don't ask you any questions about where you've come from.
Ping!
Yeah.
Thank you, Diamond Tooth Luke Harbour.
Ah, beautiful. Thank you, Luke.
All right, let me thank a couple of people now. Both of them from Australia. I would like to thank from Yokeen, Western Australia.
Yokeen!
I would like to thank Andrew Martin.
Oh, another double first namer.
Thank you so much, Andrew Martin.
Andrew
Hello.
Martin.
What's his story, Bob?
Andrew Martin was playing golf.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, when do we get that from?
Just a quick 9 holes.
Your imagination is wild.
Thank you. And there was an albatross on the green.
Oh, wow.
And sweet. Andrew was actually, he was losing quite badly to his friend Greg. The albatross really just pissed him off. So he hit it with his golf club.
He hit an albatross.
He hit an albatross.
That's bad.
Yeah, it was very bad.
Should be on the run.
It was really bad.
Was there video footage? Someone captured them?
Has he gone viral?
That's the thing, right? So this has all been speculated by his friend, Greg.
Okay.
Nobody saw Andrew hit the albatross.
Right.
There's no evidence of it. But Andrew was suddenly gone and the albatross was suddenly gone.
Is Andrew and or the albatross dead?
No.
Okay.
Andrew was just like, I can't handle the heat, man.
Yeah.
Oh, well, if you can't handle the heat,
so
you leave the golfing green.
Yeah. So he's currently just in hiding. He's just laying low for a little bit.
Okay.
He went to the shops the other day, had to get some groceries. Someone said, oh, what's your name? And he panicked and he said his name was Greg Norman.
Oh, no.
That's smart. Oh, yeah. Wait.
And then they said, oh, like the golfer. He said, oh, no, I get that all the time.
Oh, no, because that makes people start thinking about golf stories they've heard recently.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that reminds me of an albatross I heard was beaten to death on a golfing green.
And he
green.
Took those groceries and he ran.
Oh, no.
So now he's also stolen groceries.
He's committed crimes in two states now.
I don't think I should be allowed to play the game I came up with.
No, that's Andrew Martin, a.k.a. Greg Norman.
Yep.
Thank you.
Remember
so
the time
much.
We tried to tweet at Greg Norman to let me do comedy on his boat?
Yeah,
he and we never heard
never
from
replied.
Him?
I really like the moxie we showed that day, and I think it should have been rewarded.
Why didn't Greg write back?
Yeah, this is weird. Maybe he's just waiting for the right time, for the right shindig on his yacht.
Yeah, okay. I reckon.
I mean, you're not just going to have one, it's just him. Well, he certainly could, but he's like, no, the people need to see
this. His people will call your people, I assume.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's me because I was the one who tweeted saying, hey, get my friend Jess on. She's very funny.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah. I needed that.
It just does feel a little bit like he doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it, but that's his loss, not mine.
Well, I'll tell you someone who does get it, and that is from Adelaide, our final person to thank this week, from Adelaide, Adrian Newman.
Oh, Adrian.
Thank you, Adrian.
New man.
Oh, this works so well for Adrian.
So to become a new man, why did he have to become a new man?
Oh, well.
I mean, it's a complex layered question.
It is in some ways. In other ways, it's not. Insurance fraud.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who did he rip off?
Who didn't he rip off?
Tell me the last person you want to rip off.
The man.
Yeah, that's who he ripped off.
Well, no.
Yeah.
No, Adrian.
Yeah, he did.
No, Jerry Adrian.
Harvey. Jerry Harvey from Harvey Norman.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah.
Who I think it was the man.
Yeah, wow.
That we all do.
Because he got an insurance thing on a microwave and he used it fraudulently somehow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
He returned it when he didn't need to.
Yeah.
Yep.
So obviously initially from South Australia, but Newman is now, he's changed his name to Junt.
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 Junt. Yeah, just Junt.
So, oh, wow. He's like, it's like Adele. Just Junt.
Just Junt. I'm like Prince. He's also speaking in an accent just to throw Junt. People off some
more. Yeah, Junt is a great name, J-U-N-T.
Junt.
Just Junt. That's what he says, just Junt. And, yeah, he's so far so good, so got away with
it. But we don't know where he is now. He was from Adelaide.
He was.
Did he move a lot?
He's sort of hovering now in the air.
Oh, wow.
He's afraid to put his roots down again. So far he's just been, hovering.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
It is hard to.
He's waiting until it all blows over. Yeah. And then he'll probably land somewhere back on Earth. Because his plan at the moment, he doesn't want to lock anything in. I'm the only one he's spoken to, so. But anyway,
I mean, he's yelled at you from a height.
Anyway, John, I'm winking there. Because I still call you Adrian, but he hates that. He's like, I'm Junt now. Or is he Junt?
Junt.
Junt.
He really hates it when I call him Junt.
I would too.
Because his name is Junt.
So thank you very much to Adrian Newman, a.k.a. Junt.
Adrian Junt Newman.
Yes.
Appreciate all that. And we appreciate all the support that everyone on our Patreon gives us. It really does make a huge difference. So if you'd like to be part of that difference, Matt said it before, go to patreon.com/dogoonpod or hit up our website, dogoonpod.com, and there's a link right there that'll take you straight through.
It's a link right there.
And there's a link to how you can suggest a topic there. Mm-hmm. So if you want to submit a topic at any time, you just go to dogoonpod.com, and then there's also links to our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, which are at dogoonpod, and we're on YouTube, baby.
You better believe it.
YouTube.com/dogoonpod. There's some good live episodes up there if you want to see videos of what we look like live.
Yeah, and some people have been saying nice things and some confusing things about that.
Never read the comments.
That brings us to the end of the episode. We will be back next week with another fine episode. Whose turn is it to do a report next week?
Dave.
That's me, baby.
Looking forward to that. And if there is still time to get involved in Thailand, if you want to come hang with us on beautiful sunny beaches.
That's right. A link to all of that information will be in the description of this episode and also on our shows page on dogoonpod.com.
But until next week, as we always say here on Do Go On, I love you, John and Junt. Laters.
Bye.
Goodbye, Junt.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.